Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're taking a look, really a journey, into the heart of a professional community, specifically the Textbook and Academic Authors Association, or TAA.
Right. And like any thriving organization, it's always evolving, isn't it? Adapting,
yeah.
Facing challenges.
Exactly. We want to sort of pull back the curtain on how they handle all that. Our mission today is to really unpack the TAA board monthly update for September 2025.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one source, but it's packed with insights. You've got membership trends, program effectiveness.
And even this unfolding advocacy issue that authors are dealing with right now.
Yeah, it's a really candid snapshot.
And I think what you, the listener, will get from this is a clearer picture of the strategies behind that growth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how tailored programs actually create value. And crucially, how an organization like this supports its members through some pretty sensitive stuff.
It's about seeing how they pull together data, member feedback.
And use that to steer the ship, basically, to stay relevant.
Absolutely. Okay, so speaking of relevance and vitality, let's start with TAA's membership growth. It's quite a story.
It really is.
Yeah.
And it's not just a blip.
No, they've seen consistent year-over-year increases going back quite a way, since the end of 2022.
That's right. Steady climb.
And the latest numbers, from August 2024 to August 2025, an 8.8% overall increase in total members. So that's going from about 3,300 to almost 3,600. 3,592 to be exact.
That's solid growth, nearly 9%.
Yeah. And they make this distinction too between total members and published members.
Right, those who have actually published textbooks or academic works, it's a key credential for them.
And that group, the published members, was 2,239 in August 2025.
So that 8.8%, it's not just a number, is it? It suggests what they're doing is actually working, it's resonating.
Seems so.
Bringing in new people, expanding their reach. Yeah. And if you break it down, well, that's where it gets even more interesting.
Okay, how so?
Well, look at the general members, the GMs. These are the individual dues-paying members.
Mm-hmm.
They saw a 20% increase compared to last August.
Yeah.
Went from 633 up to 762.
Wow, 20%. That's significant.
It really is. And it's not just luck. They point to specific efforts, like this new automated email system they just launched.
September 1st.
The three touchpoint one.
Exactly. It targets people who've shown interest, downloaded an ebook, maybe attended a webinar, but aren't members yet.
So nudging engaged non-members towards joining.
Precisely. It's proactive. Multiple steps. Shows you need to guide people along that path sometimes.
Makes sense. What about the institutional side?
Right, the IMs. That includes institutional members, chapters, writing programs.
Okay.
They also grew by 6%. From around 2,670 up to over 2,830.
Still healthy growth.
Definitely. And they actually beat their goal for 2025. They wanted two new IM.
And they got them early.
Yeah, by February. Like West Virginia University, that started an IM, brought in 112 members right there.
So partnerships are a big driver too.
Huge. It spans the whole community's footprint. And it's not just about getting new people in the door, right? They're focused on keeping members too.
Absolutely. Retention is key. They mentioned reaching out to graced members.
These are people in a sort of temporary grace period.
Yeah, less than 3% of the total membership. Apparently, mostly folks not on auto-renewal. They're encouraging them to renew.
And the lapsed members, too. Those whose grace period ran out.
Them, too. Trying to bring them back. It's a full circle approach.
So part of that is this new onboarding journey they've launched, also September 1st.
Right.
Using different methods, email, actual mail, even phone calls over the whole first year.
That sounds pretty comprehensive.
Yeah, the idea is to make a stronger first impression, keep people informed, make them feel, you know, connected from day one.
And that really hits on a crucial point for any organization, doesn't it? That first impression, that welcome.
It sets the tone.
Exactly. It's not just info dumping. It's about building that sense of belonging. If you neglect that early stage, well, long-term engagement can suffer.
Think about it from your own experience, right? When you join something new, how important is that initial welcome? Does it make you feel valued?
Oh, absolutely. It can make all the difference.
That onboarding strategy does sound thorough. What do you think is the biggest challenge in actually doing something like that for a whole year?
Good question. I'd say resources, probably. Time, staff effort, and just maintaining that consistency without, you know, bugging people too much.
Finding the right balance.
Yeah. And it seems like TAA is trying to do that by mixing automation like those emails with personal touches like the phone calls.
Smart. efficiency plus human connection.
That's the goal.
Okay, so they're getting members in, they're trying to keep them, but how are they providing that ongoing value, keeping them engaged?
Right, and that's where the programs and workshops really come into play. This shows how they move beyond just counting heads.
Yeah, and we can actually see a direct link between some programs and growth.
Definitely.
Specific workshops in 2025 brought in a lot of new members, like New Mexico State University, West Virginia University.
Those brought in, what, over 200 new members combined?
Yeah, easily. Shows how effective those on-location events can be.
Even the Louisiana Tech one, which had issues.
Right, a Zoom outage, they had to reschedule, still brought in 36 members so far.
Underscores the demand. And they're already planning for 2026. Northwest Nazarene University is lined up.
So it's an ongoing strategy.
Clearly. And they're also adding these new virtual TAA workshops, four-hour sessions.
Ah, for deeper dives.
Exactly. Like the virtual writing retreats they did over the summer, June, July, August, guided by Danielle Stevens.
Covering things like planning, momentum, finishing strong.
Yeah, practical stuff. And the feedback was basically, we want more of these.
So members value that longer focus time.
It seems so. More impactful than just, you know, quick one-hour webinar sometimes, especially for writing.
Speaking of webinars, though, the recent ones look really relevant. Covering AI literacy, dealing with writer's block.
Marketing your work. Neuroscience for writers.
Yeah, and drawing good numbers, too. Often over 100 registrants.
And the feedback snippets are pretty telling. Love the AI content. Wonderful. Loved it. So helpful.
That AI one. Seems like everyone is trying to figure out AI's role in their work now.
It's the topic of the moment, for sure. And I like that takeaway from the distracted writer one.
Which was?
That procrastination is often rooted in anxiety. Not just poor time management. That's a powerful insight.
That is interesting. And they've got more coming up.
Yep. Copyright and estate planning for authors in October.
Oh, that's super important. Often overlooked.
Absolutely. And then in November, something on tech tools for writing teachers, which ties into their goal of recruiting more grad students.
So it's strategic. Tailored content for specific groups.
It looks like it. A steady stream of valuable stuff.
And what really makes this concrete is the member feedback, like that testimonial from Nilsa Perez Cabrera.
Yeah, the doctoral student.
She found accountability, yes, but also this caring and encouraging environment. She felt welcomed, found new friends. That's more than just skill building.
That really captures it, doesn't it? Mm. Professional development isn't just about learning things.
It's the connection.
It's the community, the belonging. When organizations can blend the practical skills with that human element, that's when you get real engagement, real resilience.
Think about that for yourself, listening.
Mm-hmm.
How much does that sense of community, that support, matter in your own professional life beyond just the, you know, technical skills?
Often it's everything.
So looking ahead,
yeah,
where's all this leading? Let's talk about their future plans and how they're handling some newer challenges.
Okay.
First up. This TAA Institute 2026, June 12th and 13th, it's replacing their traditional conference format.
Interesting shift.
Yeah, and the structure sounds like they're really thinking about different needs. A general session on AI and authoring, sure, but also conversation circles.
Writing accountability sessions, mentoring.
And these focused authoring labs, like a specific one for new textbook authors and then academic authoring labs for both veterans and newbies.
That sounds really well thought out, catering to different experience levels within the same event.
It does, moving away from that one-size-fits-all model.
Which is smart, recognizing that members need different things depending on where they are in their careers. From broad topics like AI down to very specific hands-on labs.
Okay, now let's pivot to something pretty sensitive, this advocacy issue that came up.
Right, the DEI references in textbooks.
Yeah. A longtime member reported on August 29th that their publisher asked them to change DEI references.
So things like cultural considerations or social factors.
Or individual differences. This feels like a really current, complex issue for authors.
Absolutely. And what stands out is how TAA responded.
How so?
Well, it was quick, impartial, and proactive. The executive director, Kim Pawlak, she consulted an IP attorney first. And then just a few days later, September 4th, sent out a very simple one-question survey.
To hundreds of their textbook author members.
Yeah, 646 of them, asking point blank, Are you being asked by your publisher to remove references to DEI in your textbook?
So just gathering the facts directly from their members first.
Exactly. Not jumping to conclusions, not taking an immediate stance on the publishing side of things, but finding out what are our members actually experiencing. It's a model of measured response, I think.
And the results, we should present these neutrally like TAA did.
Right. So 78 members responded.
Okay.
Of those, 6 members, that 7.7%, said yes, they were being asked to make those kinds of changes.
And the rest.
The other 92.3% said no, they weren't.
So a fairly small percentage based on these responses.
Based on these responses, yeah.
And TA's next step.
They immediately reached out individually to those 6 yes respondents.
To do what?
To connect them with an attorney, offering direct, concrete support.
Mm. So the response is supportive, it's swift, but the numbers, 7.7%. Does that suggest this issue, while definitely sensitive, maybe isn't as widespread? Or could there be other factors, like people being hesitant to report?
That's a really astute point. The data suggests it's not, perhaps, a universal directive among these respondents. Mm. But yeah, the idea of a chilling effect in sensitive areas is always possible.
Right.
What's clear, though, is TAA's focus. Empower the members who are facing this with legal resources. Provide direct help, rather than making broad pronouncements without more data.
Supporting individuals seems core here.
It does. And it's worth adding, this isn't happening in isolation, right?
How do you mean?
Their CDEI committee, that's Community, Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, they recently met. They talked about future goals, like a DEI webinar for 2026, maybe even renaming the committee.
Ah, so it's an ongoing internal discussion, too.
And they even discussed an article from The Atlantic asking if the DEI backlash had reached publishing.
So they're aware of the broader context.
Exactly. They're gathering info, supporting members through this shifting landscape, but carefully avoiding taking sides on, you know, publisher editorial decisions. It's about giving members tools and support.
That seems like a crucial role for a professional body today, being that source of info and support when things get complicated.
Absolutely.
Wow. Okay. That was quite the journey. We went from, you know, impressive membership growth driven by smart strategies,
through really engaging programs that clearly resonate,
all the way to seeing how they handle a really sensitive emerging issue for authors. It feels like we saw an organization truly in action.
Yeah, listening, adapting. We saw how those targeted strategies work for growth, how different kinds of programs build engagement and community,
and how they can mobilize quickly but carefully to support members facing challenges. It's a really holistic approach.
Balancing growth with genuine support, ensuring that vitality we talked about at the start.
So for you, our listener, maybe a final thought to consider. In this time of, well, constant change and tricky conversations, how vital is it for a professional community to do more than just offer tools for success?
You mean beyond the workshops and resources?
Yeah. How important is it for them to also be that responsive advocate, that source of real belonging?
What role do organizations like TAA play in shaping the future of writing and publishing?
And maybe reflect on what you value most from the professional communities you're part of. Is it just the skills, or is it something more? Something to think about.